Welcome to Geeks On, a show created by geeks for geeks, covering topics that geeks like to talk about. This week, it's Geeks On Kickstarter, and a whole bunch of other things we're going to talk about. For more information and news we talk about in the show, go to our website at www.geekson.com.
Booba Shaka.
Stop this feeling.
Hello, my geeklings.
Welcome. Another Geeks On.
Welcome back.
It
feels like it's been so long since we've all sat here together in our billion-dollar studio.
Exactly. We're actually in a
new place. Studio.
Yeah, that's true.
We're actually doing some construction in our wing, in our west wing. So you may hear occasional booms and sounds of jackhammers.
I like the exposed beams. This is actually quite pretty.
It's quite pretty.
Good ambience.
I actually approve.
Is this your first time in our new studio?
No. Okay. We came here to scout a green screen location.
Ah. I came here for the Game of Thrones marathon. Let's talk about geek cred.
Has anybody else had the conversation with people who have not read the books but who have talked about the series, and they just like, oh my god, you don't know, and it's so awesome, and you got to watch this show? And I'm like, oh, just wait.
Yeah.
I am watching this season with people who haven't read the books. And I'm having the hardest time because they're like, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like,
How are they?
Must not say anything.
How are they liking it? Because I've heard a lot of complaints about it not being as good.
Oh, like the new season?
The new season.
But you know what's actually funny is some of the discussion that we've had is the people who haven't read the books are actually more satisfied with the series, the opposite of what you're saying, that are more satisfied with the TV series than the people who have read the books.
Yeah. Because
they've digressed a little bit. I mean, or I should say they've taken creative liberties.
They have definitely taken creative liberties.
In fact, spoiler alerts for people who have not seen the show.
Right.
I'm not going to spoil anything if you haven't read the book. But in the last episode, they did something that I don't remember in the book, and I'm not sure why.
I didn't see last episode, so tell me, and I'll tell you whether or not it was in the book.
Yeah, I was going to say between the two of us, I think we can fact check you on that one.
In the episode, they give credit to building of the wildfire to Joffrey.
No.
Yeah, that's not.
And then Tyrion goes in and says, "Okay, you're now going to make it for me." But it was his idea.
It's his idea.
Yes, they made him like. I don't understand why they did that. I'm not sure.
Well,
in the book,
Joffrey likes to burn people with wildfire.
Well,
and
I think
gives Tyrion that idea. One of the things that I noticed is that in the first season they had to skimp so much on Joffrey and his petulance, which is where the foundation of why we hate Joffrey is laid down, is that they're
people
having
have no problem hating.
But they're doing it with a catch up right now. I mean, like beating the whore to death.
I also think
like
they're purposefully trying to parallel him with the Mad King, because obviously, like they've talked about, like the Mad King and you know the Kingslayer and the burning of Ned Stark's, you know. I think, father and brother, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I mean, so I think they're trying to parallel that, too. Hmm. And I think just given the constraints of time and character and attention for people who haven't read the books, they're trying to condense
scavenging the fourth book for all of this backstory, which is very interesting. Yeah. I'm like, what are you going to have left?
You know, they're front-loading a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and they want to hook you early.
Right.
You know, makes sense. But perhaps we got overly excited and we rushed into our Game of Thrones discussion. We should probably stop and do introductions because it has been a little while.
Oops.
Okay. My name is Aaron Hendricks and I'm a graphic designer here in Los Angeles and I'm a geek.
My name is Matt King. I'm an actor and screenwriter here in Los Angeles and I am a geek.
I am Donald Marshall. I am a video game professional here in sunny Hollywood and I too am a geek.
I am Ianthi Zivos. I'm a creative director here in Los Angeles, and yes, I'm a geek.
Yes, you are.
I keep denying it, but you guys bring me back every time.
She's our closet geek.
I'm a closet geek.
So what do you guys feel about Game of Thrones this season?
I'm liking it. I'm really liking it.
Yeah,
really
I mean, I find it very elegant. I feel that they bring the essence of the book, and they expand on some of the stuff that happened off stage in the book
right,
in a way that I find enjoyable.
Yeah.
Rob,
you know?
Rob has a role.
Yeah.
Yes.
Rob exists.
Which I think is better than the book.
I would also add Marguerite Terrell.
Yeah.
She is a character in this that she is not in the book.
She is not in the, right.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah. Absolutely.
And, But they are moving quickly.
They are. I think. I mean, I'm loving this season.
And in the next one, they got another whatever, 500 pages beyond this book.
Yeah.
Rumors they're splitting that book.
They gotta.
Yeah. I actually am enjoying the season. I mean, I still have the same issues I think I had with the first season. Some of the characters that they created, like I don't remember her name. The whore. Why?
Really? It's completely a sounding board for Littlefinger and actually makes no sense.
And they're also expanding Littlefinger's role because, I mean, the whole scene with
I don't
him,
mind that.
Which makes sense, again, for people who haven't read the books. It makes narrative sense for him to be an agent in
because
that rather
will
than.
Because he be so relevant be, by the end of this book into the next.
But you know, some of it I'm like, oh, stop.
Well, I just don't. There's certain things that I don't know why they did. They did that in the first one, and I didn't sort of like, why did you make that character choice? And it's simplistic small things, like with Daenerys and Drogo in the first season. But like with Jaime, they're making him much more vulnerable. With Cersei, they're giving her a lot of like reasons why she's nasty, and I don't think it's necessary. I think it's...
No,
you know,
I agree.
Like,
with Cersei, just the way I read Cersei in the books, I feel like they're bringing a lot of the elements of book three and book for Cersei into this season.
Interesting.
I'm seeing
like
a lot
more
of that.
Now they know her, they can put it in there, but you didn't know her, so she was just kind of...
Like, I saw a lot more, when I read the books, I saw a lot more ice in the character, and now I'm seeing, like, I'm seeing the ice cracking a lot earlier on.
But you know what? I wish, honestly, that they were a little bit sterner with Cersei in this TV show, because, I mean, she's a badass in the books. I mean, you hate her guts, but, I mean, she's a badass.
She's
and
a badass.
She should be.
Smart.
She's smart, she's crazy, but she's smart, and she's strong. She makes some insane decisions, which obviously I won't talk about here.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, I feel like they're
sacrificing a bit of that
to make her likable.
To make her likable.
Well, I think they're sacrificing a lot of it because they feel like they have to give that portion of the story to Tyrion.
Peter Dinklage steals every scene that he's in. Yes. I don't think they need to give him anything. He's going
to
make like he's so compelling on screen. I just don't think.
But when you go to King's Landing, you need to tell his story. You can't give up another mini chunk to Cersei.
I don't entirely agree.
I don't agree.
I think giving him a significant foil in the court, would be a good thing.
Yes.
And I think it enhances both of the characters. No, but I think it enhances both of the characters if they're fighting as equals. I mean, they're supposed
to hate each other's guts.
You give a
and
scene
I don't,
to somebody in an
the way
hour,
it's
you have
the way
away.
It's presented right now, he has no match. Like maybe Littlefinger, but Littlefinger is not his equal in
maybe
too many
Varys,
ways.
Maybe Littlefinger.
Yeah, you know, but Varys and Littlefinger are socially not his equal.
Right. Sure.
They
must
bow to him in all things.
Quite frankly, they don't get the screen time.
Yeah.
They just don't.
Yeah, that basic character arc of his foil with Cersei, his relationship with his father, I don't
Absolutely.
Feel like they played them up enough to the level of Tyrion being as disenfranchised as he is in the book. But we should probably table this and move on to Geek
But
Week
I'm just going
to
say one more thing.
Arya.
Sorry. Huh. Sansa lover.
Arya's been great, you know, and even her supporting cast and her storyline.
And I think the actor
about.
Is fantastic. They cast her dead on. I just love her.
That is what I was most worried about was whether.
Oh, me too. Me too. Because it sounded like a character that was quite uncastable, quite frankly, having read the book.
Yeah. Brandon, by the way, is looking older already.
Yeah,
I was thinking that it's been a half a season.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
he's got
being
taller.
The Lord of Winterfell is rough. Man.
He's gonna start looking like that like redheaded boy in
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter. Yeah. He comes out looking like a Hulk.
And his voice is dropped an octave.
Dude, they should have told that kid.
That
to stop
actually happens
out.
To Harry. What's funny is you think it's going to happen to Ron, but if you watch that movie, you can see the order that it was shot in. I think it's whatever Harry Potter movie is the one where Ron plays chess on a giant board. Right,
okay.
That movie when they're going in and they're going into the big key room with all the keys are actually keys with wings. Harry walks in and he's like, "All right, Hermione, let's go in and let's do it." door closes. All right, now I want you guys to go across the wall and get across. And then the door closes, and they were on the way back out, and they're like, "So glad we did that." All right, let's go. It's hilarious. You can tell exactly how what order they shot that movie in.
Awesome. Boy.
But that the redhead kid, I don't know if he was in the gym the entire time, but
he was in the gym the entire time.
They need to stop him because
he was in the gym the entire
time.
Come on.
Boom, 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 boom.
So how's your Geek Week been? It's been a couple little while. What have you been up to?
Very, very busy.
I saw Cabin in the Woods.
Excellent. What'd you think?
I thought it was very good.
Excellent.
I thought, have you guys all seen it?
I still haven't seen it.
Yet again, pay homage to the ineffable Lisa Lassick.
I know.
Yes. Disclaimer, we all have personal stakes in this.
Yeah. Yeah.
As do
Joss
we.
Whedon, Joss Whedon, when we went Joss Whedon.
Joss Whedon and also Lisa will be.
That's why I didn't go, because it's too scary for me.
Too scary for you?
Dude, someone told me Scream was funny, and that's the last horror movie I went to. It wrecked me, so I can't do it.
Wait a minute, what about Prometheus?
Nope, haven't seen it.
Well, it's not out yet. You're not going to go see Prometheus?
I don't know. I'm going to struggle, quite frankly, because I've seen the trailers for it, and I love Michael Fassbender. So I just can't.
Did you see Aliens?
Did you see his giant penis and whatever the other
movie is? I haven't seen Shame. No, I haven't seen it. That's not the basic.
Well, rumor has
it
that's terrifying, too.
Yeah, exactly.
You
know?
Yeah, you saw Alien and Aliens, right?
I've seen all of the Alien movies, yeah. I had some issues
but
with
you
that.
Saw if you see them at 4 p.m. on a Saturday with all the windows open.
But you know what it is? It's really, you know how people say, like, I'm a visual person? I'm a visual person. So I'll see it, and I can rationalize my way through it when I'm awake. But when I go to sleep at night, that stuff is in my head, and it stays in my head for a long time. And I have nightmares, literally,
yeah,
for a month
afterwards.
My wife watched
The Lovely
Bones.
And
I just don't know who's worth that investment to have
Ridley
a nightmare
Scott.
For a month later. Maybe.
Yeah, my wife watched
that's
the Lovely Bones,
maybe.
And it did not go over well.
Yeah.
The Lovely Bones. Do you know the movie, The Lovely Bones?
I haven't seen it.
The Lovely Bones?
The Lovely Bones.
I saw that, and that wrecked me, too.
Yeah.
It's
pedophiles and a girl who gets kidnapped and put in, you know,
okay,
under
did
the
you
ground
guys see, did you see, it was a Guillermo del Toro movie, The Devil's Backbone? It's
yes.
in Spanish.
Yes.
There's a scene in that still wrecks me. I have nightmares about that periodically, and I saw it,
door?
Like, 5-7 years ago.
The ghost in the door.
In the door. In the door, and he shuts the door, and I'm like.
I saw that with you.
Like you told me.
I've watched Devil Backbone probably 8 times.
I love that movie, but it wrecks me.
I love that movie.
And it's stuck in my head. So I have to pick and choose very carefully what I'm going to torture myself with.
I am really getting worked up about Prometheus, and I've been trying to calm down so I don't like ruin it for myself.
Yeah, don't do
but
that.
Yeah. The trailers are better and better looking. They're good.
Did you see the
David
new Dark
trailer
Knight
was
trailer?
Amazing.
Off the chain. And of course, I mean, this is going to be the geekiest year. I mean, people, I mean, it's like every time I think, you know, we've gotten to like a Hobbit year or whatever it is, they scale the movies up. Now people are like, oh, geeks. And it's like all of the creatives are now leaning their forces into like, hey, Avengers. You know, it was like when I found out that Joss was doing the Avengers, I remember the first comic that I ever read Joss doing and. in the second or third comic of the series that he was doing, an X-Men series, he had Colossus throwing Wolverine with the cannonball, with the fastball special. And I was like, oh, homeboy's read some comics. And I was like, so when I heard that he was doing this, I was like, ooh, we got a hitter on board. So I cannot wait for Avengers.
I've heard nothing but good reviews from people who've seen it, like word of mouth reviews.
What's amazing.
Well, and in the newspapers too, which usually trash that genre of movie altogether, like, they got a good review in the New York Times.
And they
Joss,
said that
Joss needed that. Because,
yeah. Oh yeah. Why?
Well, his, you know, essentially his rep is he's got directing short-lived TV shows.
Well,
is
I
that
don't,
his
I don't
reputation?
Think, I don't think that's
his,
I don't
think
that's
he
his reputation
lives and dies by
in
that.
The slightest.
Really?
No.
That's what
no.
I would say.
No.
He
I wouldn't say so
did
at all.
Buffy, which was
epic.
Epic.
Right.
He's got a cult following.
He did Serenity,
well,
which was short, but it
yeah,
led
but I mean,
to
he has that reputation
but
too. Like,
Serenity was considered a flop to most.
But Serenity, the movie did well.
Serenity, the
no,
movie
it did.
Not. It did not. No. I thought the movie did.
No, the movie did. The movie at least broke even.
My understanding is that it made its money back.
Yeah.
It may have, but I.
And then Dr. Horrible changed the game completely.
Yeah. Dr. Horrible did very well.
He made millions upon millions upon millions straight to his pocket for that thing. I mean, he proved the internet, you know,
the interwebs work.
$300 million movie. Executives do not even look at Dr. Horrible and go, you know what? He changed.
Then how did he get? How did he get the film? Aaron?
Seriously, look at some of the people.
Marvel was behind it. I think Marvel were fans of him, which is I think smart of them. But if you get a whole bunch of guys who are talking about money and all they see is numbers and stuff,
Aaron,
his name wasn't going
to
come
up. I just don't think the decision-making process is that logical.
Because I
look at some of the names who are attached to those big special effects pictures, and they're people I'm like, who the hell is that, and why are they directing this movie?
And, all right, so excited about, I really want to see Avengers. I think
So wait, did I interpret this correctly, that you're not that excited about The Dark Knight?
The last trailer to me turned me off more than the one before that was better.
Really?
Like the flying car thing.
It's not a car.
I've actually avoided most of the trailers.
It's not a car.
Just because they have my money. They have my money.
Yeah.
I'm going.
Yeah, no, I'm going to go.
The last movie was the best superhero movie made.
Yeah.
Period, in my opinion. The best superhero movie ever made was the last Batman. I will definitely say that. Hmm. So I'm going to go see this movie.
But you're not excited about
it. But I have to say, I was like, wow, Catwoman looks kind of stupid. And the flying car. Like one of the things
I love. Well, the Lacey mask is kind of stupid. Whatever.
Yeah, yeah. One of the things I loved about the last movie is that Batman had to hire like a mercenary to fly that plane to get him out. I loved that because he's a dude. He's just a rich. A rich dude. Now he's got flying cars and shit. I'm like, eh. There was something so raw and real about like.
Well, let's wait and see the evolution here.
Because
keep in mind, like the costumes in the second one were actually very well integrated. You know, like, I'm not going to... Yes, I've seen pictures of the Catwoman costume. I think it looks ridiculous, too. But I've seen... Yeah, I think it looks stupid.
Oh.
But I've also seen some of the scenes, the backgrounds.
Better than Halle
Berry's. There's at least one masquerade ball in there.
Mm-hmm.
The ridiculous Catwoman costume that I've seen
would look perfect
in a masquerade ball. So, like, with that context, it might work.
Yeah.
So
no, I'm gonna definitely give him the...
My assumption is actually that this is really about bringing Liam Neeson back, and that there's a secondary villain, and that it's Rachel Ghul. That's your contention.
I love it. We have a thesis.
That's why I think it's a true trilogy, and it's about Rachel Ghul in the Lazarus Pit.
Well, it would make sense because he's being reborn too. We've already seen that from the trailers.
Yeah.
You know, he goes away. He rediscovers himself.
That's what I think is he gets broken because that's what Bane does. Bane breaks him.
Do you think they're going to kill him off?
I think they're going to kill him. And it's Rachel Ghul in the Lazarus Pit.
I love my heroes dead at the end of movies. If they kill off Batman,
Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Joseph Gordon-Levitt will be the next Batman.
Did you just say, I love my heroes dead?
That's him picking up the cowl.
Dude,
is my bet.
Or even Nightwing, that'd be fine.
So you think your theory is killing off this Batman, mm-hmm. and the next series will bring in a new...
No, I don't think there will be a next Batman. I think with his death, you're going to see someone else pick up the cowl, and then someone else, and then many people. Like, I don't think there will be another Batman. I think there's going to be
Batman. Oh, so they're all Buffy at the end? Is that what you're saying?
It's going to be the many Buffys.
Interesting.
You know?
Mm-hmm. And we've come full circle.
Hmm. All right, we'll see. Don,
there you go.
I like it.
Don's officially announced the
ending. I like it.
We'll see whether or not we're right.
Yeah.
So I don't remember if I talked about this show specifically on Geeks On before, but have any of you watched Archer?
Yes.
I've tried.
I have watched in marathon now the entirety of Archer on Netflix.
Me too. Like now, I've seen season 3 as well now.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
I didn't see the one after the Russian agent died.
Okay, so I've seen this season after that. Wow.
This show is off the effing chain.
Yeah, it's insane.
I watch episodes where I rarely chuckle, and then I watch episodes where I want to like pause it and invite somebody in the room to watch with me. But it's so inconsistent to me.
Oh, really?
I have to say, I tried to watch it, and the episode that I watched was just so flat that I didn't go back. And I've been told by people who I trust that it's a fantastic
series,
and I need to go back. But I just haven't done it.
It can be a little spazzy. But, like, there's this one episode I watched. I don't remember what it was called, but all I'll say is they're transporting a Canadian terrorist to Canada. And there's an ocelot on the train that gets loose. That's all I'll say.
Yeah.
And I was losing my mind. I was just there's an all-America's terrorists.
Jamboree.
They're terrorists disguised as Mounties, big old shootouts. Oh, my God. I thought I'd pee myself. I just.
Yeah.
I, It was one of the best comedic cartoons I've ever watched in my life.
Yeah, they use the idea of basically turning the corner and like spinning the scene in another way. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, so highly recommend.
I guess, Aaron, we need to get our acts together and watch more Archer.
And one other, I've been on a TV binge because I've been getting home really late. One of my other favorite TV series is the BBC Being Human series, right?
Which is now on Netflix.
Which is now on Netflix.
I tried,
I look at it.
Not
I
for
tried,
you.
Didn't do
That's
it for
fair.
Me.
It's fair.
I watched 6 episodes and gave up.
This seems like your up your alley type of show.
I love this show.
When it was described to me, I was like,
I don't actually know about this show, to be honest.
Well, the BBC series is about a werewolf and a vampire
who
are the best friends.
I do know about the show.
And they decide they don't really like being monsters, so they're going to try and sort of
like
withdraw from society.
You.
Yeah, it does.
They move into a house.
On radio.
They move into a house together only to discover that it's haunted.
Oh,
by
it's
a ghost.
The ghost.
Right?
I saw an episode. There's an American remake.
An American remake.
Yeah. Okay, I saw an episode of the American remake.
Everybody's
the American remake
pretty.
Is not as good.
No.
Yeah, I wasn't really into it, I have to say.
It's really not as good.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the three of them end up living together, and the whole like big twist to me is it's not a sitcom.
No.
Huh.
Right? Like, you describe this to someone, you expect it to be a comedy.
Yeah.
Right?
Or at least, like, Buffy-ish.
Yeah, or Buffy-ish at least. And there are some episodes that have Buffy qualities, definitely.
Yeah.
But not a straight-up comedy, right? So I enjoyed the first, like, 3 seasons. I really liked it. And then recently BBC released, like, I think the 4th season, the most recent season.
Mm-hmm.
Utterly traumatizing me in the first episode. I will not spoil the season for people, telling people what happened, but basically they have changed the entire premise of the series. They have changed the entire cast.
Wow.
And I would say pretty much the first half of the season was pretty much a sitcom to me. Like, it became a sitcom. I don't know what happened. I kept watching it. I'm not dropping it yet. I think that it still has a lot of promise, but... I'm curious what some of our listeners think about it. So let me know.
I'm curious. You know,
I've never seen a series change that drastically, and I've never seen a series with like a full cast reboot that abruptly and that unexpectedly.
Yeah. You know, BBC does some interesting things, like super short
series.
State-run
television.
Can we talk about Sherlock?
Sherlock.
That's coming, and I can't
wait.
Just
real quickly, because I definitely want to talk about that. I finished watching Misfits, which we talked about in the last episode.
Astoundingly good.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I had watched more than half of it last time, but in these seasons, their cast members come and go.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Someone was almost heartbreaking when I found out he wasn't on the show because he was
very unexpected. Very unexpected.
Yes. And then it took me 2 or 3 episodes to kind of like recover from that. I thought they did a very good job of recovering. But they almost set it up for the next season that they're going to have another big cast change in a way, it feels like.
I don't see how they could take that back.
I don't either.
Like,
so,
yeah. With the season finale, it looks like there's another major cast change, and don't see how they could go back on that.
All it is BBC don't pay crap, and these actors leave, because when they get noticed, they come to America.
Well, one of the things I think is really interesting is the actors they cast are really good.
Yeah.
You know, they're not... I keep having conversations about this. Like, BBC casts for, like, charisma first, like, acting ability second, and then looks third, you know, like looks distant third.
Right.
And you find out really quickly, you find out really quickly, it really doesn't matter. Cause like the looks all of a sudden just move up, you know, some of these people become really attractive really quick when those other two components click into place.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. That's very true of PC.
All right.
Yeah.
So
I was going to say, well, Sherlock, I'm going to go on a momentary rant here, and this started with the Avengers, and it's going to continue on through the summer. I'm really aggravated that the U.S. is now a secondary release market, that it sucks ass. I'm sorry. It does. Understand piracy. I get it. But why aren't we SIMO with the markets where the piracy takes place? It drives me crazy that I'm looking at Variety and I'm reading about how much money it's made
and
we can't see it.
Then they'll bitch that it got pirated.
Well, I was reading and thinking somebody needs to start pirating here. Yeah.
Move our release date it is back up. Pirating. You know, people are already seen the show here.
Yeah, no, I know they pirating. Have.
But if they would just effing released it, like, they would have made their
why not?
Money.
I don't understand what the logic is not to go simultaneous. It drives me crazy. Yeah.
Especially when they
I
have.
I understand Sherlock because it's the BBC and it's a British show, and okay, I'll make my peace with that. But it's the Avengers, and Spider-Man's going to do the same thing.
Yep.
We're not going to see that before. It's going to open overseas before it opens here.
I don't get it.
Either. I don't. It drives me absolutely berserk. I'm just going to say it. Stop there.
And I'll go a step farther. I won't give the BBC a bye either, because the BBC has BBC America. They have a channel in place to release in the United States simultaneously.
Well, Sherlock has been out for, 2 months? 3 months? I mean, it's been out.
It's like over. The whole season's over.
Yeah,
right?
It's done. It's been aired. And then we're still waiting.
It's 3 episodes.
I know it's 3 episodes, but why are we waiting for 3-4 months for 3 episodes? It drives me crazy.
Right.
And again, and then it will air on BBC America, and then it will get lower ratings because everyone's already freaking seen it, and then they will bitch about it.
No, I just don't get it.
Fucking sense.
I mean, I understand that the days of it opening in the United States and then opening overseas are over. I get that, because by the time it opens somewhere else, everybody in China has made 8 billion copies of it and everybody overseas has seen it.
Right.
Why don't we all go simultaneous? Why does it mean that we now have to take like second seat?
Let's go find a British executive. Well, and
it's a marketing person at one of the major studios for the Avengers, for Spider-Man, like all the big event movies. Hmm. We're like second rate now. I'm sorry.
But what?
I'm about to start chanting USA.
I think
any second
so.
Now. Any
I think
second
so.
Now.
Okay.
I barely constrain
Since
myself.
We're wandering all over the place, I want to talk about the newest rumors that we all know that Sherlock is in the new Star Trek movie.
Yes. Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah. Right. Thank you
and
for saying it.
The rumor is
it's
that
great name.
It's pretty much slipped that he is definitely going to be playing
Khan.
Mm.
Can I rant here?
You can rant.
Not like you didn't think I was going to.
Yeah, I was like, no, what, you don't love this?
I thought the last Star Trek movie was fun. I've said it on air. I've had problems with it all along because I don't understand why they needed to blow up the old universe in order to do this new one. Peter argues with me that it's because he needs to start fresh. Well, if you're going to start fresh, then stop writing about the same fucking characters. If you needed to blow up the universe, then why are you starting with Khan again? Go make up another goddamn story.
Well,
I don't get it.
If you're going to pay homage to the original series, why not use the original characters?
But
especially
why
if
it,
some
why
of the original...
Over?
Well, if the original story is iconic and still speaks, like has a message that is resonates, why not use it?
Yes.
Well, I don't understand why... The old writers had to write new stories, and these ones just have to trample on the old writers' stuff. Why don't they write their own goddamn stories?
I mean,
it's Star Trek. Write
I'm gonna,
a new
I'm going to partially agree with you, Aaron, because I would like more IP, and I would like Star Trek to come up with interesting ideas.
Yeah.
On the other hand, there are people who have not seen Star Trek, have not seen all the old episodes, will not just go, hey, there's a Star Trek movie out. Maybe I should go see all those episodes and learn the back history and then appreciate something new.
So every 20 years we have to watch Khan and Batman and Superman and Transformers.
Strangely,
the price of being faithful,
strangely, there are children being born right now.
I know.
Weirdly.
But guess what? We don't have to...
You
don't have to pander
and weirdly,
to them
Aaron, I can bet you didn't go back and watch all of the old Tarzan remakes when I didn't go back and watch Buster Crabbe when your dad was
Tarzan
like, hey, there's a new Tarzan movie coming.
Challenge. Yeah. I did.
I've seen the old Tarzan movies.
No, fine. But I'm saying, in general, we don't go back into history to make sure that we're staying up
awesome.
To date.
No, I get it.
You know?
I get it. But if the point of blowing up the old universe was so you could write new stuff, and then all you
and
do
that's why
is
I said,
go...
And that's why I'm saying I
partially
agree
Aaron,
with
I think you're taking it maybe a bit more literally. I mean, like, they blew up the old universe, I think, to free themselves from some of the constraints of following all the rules, because there were lots of rules, and you know as well as I do that people who are really emotionally attached to Star Trek know all the rules and know when every single one of them has been broken. So they wanted to blow that up. I don't think they necessarily wanted to leave the entire neighborhood behind.
But imagine you not having to worry about the rules because you wrote a new story.
I'm not arguing with that. No. That would be awesome.
I would argue that
awesome.
I would argue that, you know, if they're laying down these movies as, you know, as a new tent pole, right? To hang the new universe that the new television series will hang off of. Mm-hmm. The new television series should be the place for the new content. And the new tentpole should be the connecting point to the old universe.
I guess so.
I actually just tried to rewatch the first Star Trek movie. Has anybody watched that?
I haven't watched it since it was in theaters.
Dude, wow.
It's terrible.
I could barely make it through.
Oh, wait.
It's a cloud.
Star Trek, the motion picture? The very first one?
Yeah.
With Bald Lady?
And V'ger and the cloud. And it's like Enterprise porn for like 40 minutes in the beginning.
The only thing I really remember that was awesome were like the Klingon ships and some awesome music and like energy balls. That's all I really remember.
That's like the first
30 seconds.
Yeah. And I remember that being amazing to my like 2-year-old brain.
Yeah, don't go back and see it then, Don.
I watched the last
keep it amazing
it.
In your head.
Yeah. I watched the last half of it recently.
Oh, did you?
And I would never recommend that movie as a movie to anybody. I would recommend that movie to somebody who is hurting for hard science fiction.
Because really?
When you watch it, you're like, wow, you do not see this type of story being told in movies.
It's like
there's no action in this goddamn movie.
No, there's no action whatsoever.
It's like heady, hard, like really thinky type.
I'm going to disagree with you though. It's not
I'm
that
gonna
thinky.
I'm going to say Moon, which came out 2 years ago. Whoops, that's ass
absolutely.
In terms of hard science
as a movie,
fiction.
As a movie, in terms of high science fiction.
Yeah, as high concept.
Really, V'ger going off, being discovered by an alien robotic race. Transform and upgrade, sent back to find its maker, and then the maker's half
guy who doesn't realize that he's a clone, dying over and over again on a moon built by a corporation. I mean, come on,
untouchable.
That doesn't devalue the movie that Aaron is talking about.
No, I'm just saying.
I get your point.
Yes, no, but his point was that there he thinks it kicks everything modern's ass in terms of hard science
fiction.
I'm going to disagree
because this is like one of those Solaris moments where just because it's slowly paced doesn't make it good.
Solaris is awesome. Solaris is an awful movie.
I mean, seriously, like, well, I've sat through enough Eastern European film to know, like, slow,
okay,
good, not
2001.
Same.
2001. I just went and saw 2001. Mm. Crap movie or good movie?
I find that.
I'm going to be a heretic.
I'm going to be a heretic. It's not in the same category as the first Star Trek movie.
I am not a fan. Wonder Twin Powers activate. I am so with you.
Here's the reason why it's not. It's in the same intellectual category, but here's the reason why it's different.
No,
the design of 2001 is so amazing.
It's superior.
I saw it at the.
Well, and I think conceptually it's different. It's different because it's talking about. I mean.
To me, 2001 is like Picasso's Blue Period. I don't necessarily particularly like it, but I like what it did for everything else.
I like the concept of 2001.
You can't argue with that.
No, I do. I don't enjoy the experience of the movie, but I think the concept of it is really... I get it.
So now you understand why I like Star Trek 1.
No, not really.
No, not on board.
Not really.
Go to Facebook. Go to our forums.
Exactly.
Make
go
your
to Facebook.
Voices heard.
Yeah, exactly. On this topic.
Star Trek One.
Good
yes,
or not?
Yay or nay?
Yay or nay? Star Trek One. Yay or nay?
All right. We actually have to put that on her.
And by the way, I'll put that up against Star Trek Five, Star Trek Six.
I actually well, I'm rewatching all of them. I haven't gotten that far.
Five. Seven.
Five? Come on.
And almost every
Star Trek versus the big giant head.
The head!
Come on now.
No, I, yeah.
Fine.
I still like
I'm
three.
I'm talking to you. I still like three.
All right. Let's do some news.
Was that Kirk versus God?
No, it was Kirk versus himself because he was the damn director. And yeah, never mind.
Oh, dear Lord.
Did you just.
That was
okay. I thought you said something else. Oh my God! Stop.
Three is Search for Spock.
Search for Spock. Yeah, I was saying five is the big giant head. Yeah.
Yeah.
With William Shatner directing.
Yes.
Yeah, it's the big giant head.
Shall we do news?
Head, yeah. We shall.
All right, hang on.
I went to see The Fly. That was awesome.
I was with you.
I know. I know.
We're singing.
But Don, don't you feel like you're at a cultural event?
It's cultural.
We have come back to Geeks On. And
by the way, we are recording.
Oh, okay.
Don.
Sorry.
Don is talking
singing
about the fly.
Fly opera. Fly which opera? Was atonal.
It was very modern.
There was no melody anywhere, but I went.
What was that opera we went and saw that?
Oh, you wanted to kill yourself.
Like Julie Taymor.
It was Julie Taymor and opera. Elliot Gold. Oh, yeah. You hated it. It was Grendel.
No, Grendel. I decided one year I was going, like, was it 2 years ago, 3 years ago we went? I decided that year I'm going to try opera. I will try again. I will do it. And I went to see
Fly?
The Fly, and I went to see not Das Tenenbaum. It was like another, it was a Wagner opera with Baum.
One of the Ring Cycle?
No,
like
the Das Flederbaum or Das.
Oh, okay.
Das Grimbaum, just Baum from Baum hell
something.
Or something. It
Baum,
just,
Baum.
I was like 5 minutes into it and going like, oh, this is going to hurt.
Yeah. I saw another postmodern opera up in San Francisco, and I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but apparently I have a high tolerance for these things that you guys don't possess.
This came up
I enjoyed it.
A couple of us are going to go see Reanimator the Musical, which is playing in Los Angeles right now.
It's actually going to be playing in Los Angeles for a couple weeks, and then it's going to go to New York, and then it's going off to Edinburgh for the Fringe Festival.
Oh, really?
So,
wear a raincoat if you go.
Yes. And because
it's Guar?
Because it's Guar, reanimated.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So go. It's going to be awesome, and it's totally worth it.
I can't wait. All right, geek news.
GameCube today, May 3rd, right? Correct?
Yeah.
May 3rd, 2012.
My
today,
birthday.
The GameCube is 10 years old. Happy birthday, GameCube.
Is it really?
Oh.
Yeah.
Who
old.
Plays the GameCube?
Nobody. It's just because it's a 10-year-old game system.
Oh, okay.
It's gathering dust somewhere.
Somewhere. Yes.
It's
at a tag sale.
Just the other day,
right now.
It was YouTube's 7-year anniversary.
Wow.
It just seems like it's been there forever.
Wow. I don't feel like it's been there forever. I feel like I just turned around and YouTube was there like a second ago.
Really?
It's so ubiquitous now.
Yeah.
Like everything I deal with is on YouTube. YouTube's. Is YouTube connected somehow?
Yeah, you know? It was pretty crazy. Did you guys see the, we talked about, I think briefly, but the April 1st, you could buy YouTube on DVD. And it came in like
what?
6 or 7 truckloads.
Are you serious?
It was a April Fool's joke.
Oh,
thank God. They have a video, and it was really funny. They even had like
I don't even understand
little self-addressed envelopes where you could write the maker of each video, so you could comment.
Oh
with
my
a
God!
Thumbs up and thumbs down sticker you could put on it.
Oh.
Nice.
It's funny. The guy opens it. Says firsties. Anyway, it was pretty clever.
That is pretty clever.
All right, so...
what you got? Who's got what?
Well, I have... Then just reminded me, you've heard these rumors about Xbox maybe making announcements about the new Xbox... 720 or whatever it's called. Well,
the spin.
I just read today that there are reports that maybe hardware is already being made for it.
Woo-hoo.
And that they might try to get the price down to like $99.
Whoa.
What?
With a subscription to the live service as their kind of
money making.
Yeah. So in other words, you
the subscription to the live service will be $300 a year.
Yeah. So what you do is you make a contract saying you're going to do 3 years worth of Xbox Live, and then the box comes down because they want to try to get the. And I think they're doing that with this Xbox. They're soon going to release a very inexpensive Xbox with a Kinect. And as long as you pay up front or monthly for this live service with a guarantee for a certain amount of years, then the Xbox is $99.
It's really interesting.
It's a great idea
because
it probably ends up costing you the same, maybe a little bit more, but the price tag looks like $100 instead of $400.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're paying your monthly cost. And I think it probably is a good idea. I mean,
weird.
It's not like you're paying a lot more.
Hmm.
But so...
Interesting.
Bizarre.
It's just everyone's trying to figure out how to get these.
Well, there's
prices.
No mod because they cost more to make than and it
yeah
just,
yeah
it just doesn't
exactly.
make sense.
So anyway,
I have a non-geeky news story, but it's sort of a tribute, and it actually is geeky in a slight way. I have a tribute to Junior Seau. He just died, committed suicide. Junior Seau was the lineman who got me into really liking football, right? First real Samoan in the league, right? Huge human being. I mean, I remember reading about this guy and thinking, oh, okay, this is a superhero. This is what they can do. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a guy who had a 600-pound bench press, a 900-pound leg press, and could run the 40 in 4.3, who could basically go after a quarterback. And there was one story, he went after a quarterback, and he turned around midfield and caught a guy who was an Olympic 100-meter gold medalist and turned around and caught him downfield and tackled him. I mean, he's a superhuman.
Right.
And he committed suicide. Now, one of the things that they're saying...
Later in his life.
Well, one of the things that they're finding out right now, and this is why I think it's partially a geek story, is that the average life for an NFL lineman is 55 years, right? As opposed to the rest of the universe, which is 77 years. Mm-hmm. And they're saying that one of the biggest secrets that's being covered up by the NFL is because these guys are undergoing a trauma of a car accident on a daily basis, every play, that they're really seriously actually getting altered by that much trauma on a daily basis, and that there is a lot of cover-up that's been going on in the NFL. Hmm. And one of the things with Junior Seau that's very interesting is that he's the ninth guy of this team who's died, of this Super Bowl team. It's the cursed Chargers. So there's this whole story that I thought was this very, and there are these scientists who are looking into Junior Seau right now with his will and another one of the members of the Chargers, because both of them committed suicide by shooting themselves in the chest.
And right? The speculation is that they wanted to leave their head intact so they can have analysis of their brain done to see if they have repetitive trauma to their brains.
Exactly.
From what they did in the NFL.
So
they couldn't just make an appointment.
So they're, well, no. Because
you need to dissect your brain.
Dissect your brain to check for encephalitis. Yeah. So both of them underwent this serious trauma and stuff like that. And they're saying, dissect me after I'm dead to determine whether or not. And I thought, you know, that's my sort of sci-fi geeky twist. But
that is...
it's bizarre.
It's bizarre.
It's eerie and bizarre. Yeah, yeah. And
it's really sad.
It's really, really sad.
For sports.
So yeah. Depressed now.
Yeah.
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 So that is my tribute to Junior Seau, who was an amazing human being.
Maybe I'll... this might raise the... tone a little bit.
They're saying,
you heard about these bionic eyes they're not starting to
That was
install.
One of my other news stories, yeah.
No. Total insanity. They're installing...
Installed and worked.
Really?
Yeah. These pickup sensors in the back of the eye that then stimulate the nerve endings and are sending essentially large shapes. I got the impression there's only a certain amount of sensors right now that they can kind of hook up and deal with. So they're seeing large, you know, big, large shapes. But I heard that they figure that they're going to be able to get it down so that someone could read large type and identify faces here very soon.
Yeah, they said basically it's been done to two guys right now. I'll get their names in a second. Okay, Robin Millar and Chris James both had over 10 years of blindness each. Dead blind. And
what does dead blind mean? Like blind?
Both of
blind?
Them had had what was called retinitis pigmentosa.
Oh, okay.
Which is an incurable condition that leads to blindness. So they had sight at one point. One of them basically said, I dreamed in color for the first time in 20 years. Mm-hmm. That blew me away, that sense. But the condition affects about 1 in every 3,000 to 4,000 people. A clinical trial with two sufferers exceeds expectation, and they were able to detect outlines of objects within days, and their vision is expected to improve as the 3-millimeter chip beds in.
So William Gibson.
When you said
slots.
When you said all they could see is large shapes, though, the immediate image I had is like, so they can only see things like the
I want
video.
Oh, I was thinking like the Bauhaus, like, you know, primary color shape.
Yeah.
Everything's a Mondrian.
Everything's a Mondrian.
Money
painting.
For nothing.
It's not that like, bad, really.
I wonder how much it costs. Like $6 million man.
$6 million eye.
But, yeah. Yeah. I mean, was it?
He had legs too, Aaron.
He had legs and an arm.
He had legs and an arm. So how much do you think of that was the eye?
With inflation.
I'm guessing the eye had some high cost optics in it.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's give.
That was something I always wondered.
With inflation, the $6 billion man's probably
and it was $6 billion man.
Did they have a $6 billion man? Wasn't there an update?
There was like
a modern update that was $12 billion or $120 million or something.
$120 million That doesn't have the same ring to it, does it?
The $1 billion man.
Well, back
$1 trillion man.
Back in the day, they had even with like later on in the series, they had a guy who was $12 million and he turned out to be, you know, become a bad guy and they had a battle at one point.
I always remember the bionic dog.
Max,
dude.
Oh god, bionic dog.
Jamie yeah. Summers.
This super teacher who used her bionics to write on the blackboard at super speed and open stuck windows. That's what I remember about her.
Yeah, that was a little disappointing. Yeah.
She was a great actress though.
I just remember she had bionic ear.
Well in slow-mo, is that what you're saying?
She had a bionic ear that couldn't hear through her hair. She always had to move her hair out of the way in order to use it.
Well, Steve Austin always had to do the kind
it's
of
it's the
wink.
Optics of it.
Yeah. Yeah, just the brush of the hair would
it's make the crackle.
The crackle.
It's 70s bionic still had some bugs.
Exactly. They had to work it out, man.
Already.
That's awesome.
What was I going to say right after the bionic thing?
Oh, sorry.
James Cameron?
Max.
No.
James Cameron's blowing me away, man. He's absolutely blowing me away.
Because he wants to go and mine...
No, because he went, hey, I'm going to have the highest grossing film of all time, and by the way, I'm also going to, in order to do that, I'm going to design the entire taxonomy of a planet myself, and then after I'm done with that, oh, and by the way, in my spare time, I'm going to design a submarine that I'm going to have somebody build, and then I'm going to go alone.
I didn't realize he designed it himself.
Yeah,
he
designed it, yeah.
Really?
Are you sure?
Yeah. Well, no, he worked with two other people, but I mean, yeah, he designed the submarine.
So he had ghost designers.
Were submarine designers.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, are you sure he didn't paint it? Yeah,
like, they were nuclear physicists.
Yeah, yeah.
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 Yeah, he designed it. I want it to look like this. I want to have a cool tail.
I want a cool escape hatch.
Yeah. That's why he's a director. But but then he went alone down into the Marianas Trench to do a documentary, and then he comes back out and
So his partners were really good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you gotta spend your money on something. Yeah.
And then he comes back out and he's like working with Ross Perot Jr. and the heads of Google to do Planetary Ventures. And this is insane. Planetary Adventures is like the future for me.
Did you guys?
We should probably just discuss what that is briefly. Okay. We're going to be mining asteroids.
I was going to say that. Did you read that?
Yeah.
I thought that was fascinating.
I think we would like to mine asteroids.
We would like to mine
asteroids.
I would say with the heads of Google, James Cameron, and Ross Perot Jr., you got a pretty good shot at getting something at least up there.
They're going to send Ben Affleck up there to sort it out.
And this is not something that I wish I knew we were going to talk about this, but I remember reading something somewhere a couple months ago. So this chalk this up in the rumor category. But I remember reading somewhere about Space Elevator again.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Most likely coming true in our lifetime. And
Japanese.
The whole point of the Space Elevator was to make... like space mining possibility in our lifetime. Mm. So if this comes up, it becomes the case, if they're actually going to be doing industrial mining, like right now they're talking about mining water in small.
No,
scale.
No. No, this they're is industrial. No, this is stuff. This is industrial
but
mining.
But first they were talking about water.
The asteroid that they classified, the first one, they
it's
said basically
precious metals.
It's precious
and
metals.
Water.
Yeah.
It says
the interview I saw, he said water.
The one that I saw.
The one I read was metals.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. The one I saw was precious metals, and they cataloged this one asteroid, and they said this is the one that's probably the easiest to reach.
Yeah.
We got 20. This is the one that's easiest to reach. We have 9,000 asteroids that are cataloged total, And just this one that we've gone and we've done mineral samples on, it has enough platinum that makes this asteroid worth $20 trillion.
But here's my
space
question.
Space dollars, though. That's like crappy euros.
No, I mean, if
but they
if
haven't
that is
actually they haven't actually sampled that asteroid.
It's well, yeah, all, but you can do spectral analysis.
That's what they've done, yeah, lasers. Which I think is really fascinating in its own right, that nobody's actually been there, but they know what the composition of an asteroid
that's,
is.
I mean, that's amazing. Space, that means they have to mine 1/40th of it to be worth as much as Apple.
Yeah.
I mean, that's insane.
But they also have to have a plan, which they say they do, to manage the quantities of metals coming back.
Yeah, but that's like the De Beers. You know, that's like the De Beers company managing diamonds. I mean, all they need to do is be able to have a handle on the supply chain, and then they can just leverage that money to every bank in the world and basically be like, we have $20 trillion worth of platinum up there.
I think it's
give us some cash.
I think I just figured out the plot of Ocean's 14.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
how much better than Ocean's 12?
Well, to me, I mean, just in order to do that, that means that everybody, the Saudis got to get involved, China's got to get involved, everybody's got to go up to space, and that, to me, that's the future.
Yeah,
that's the space race. That's great.
If there's money there, that's how we're going to push forward.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That is, that's great.
I mean, that's how America was found, because there was
there's money
to be found by getting in a damn boat
that, to
and
me,
going
that's,
straight.
You know, it's coming.
Yeah. So,
let me, do you have more news?
No, I'm done.
So I will finish up our news with my traditional fluff story.
What? Oh.
So Nickelodeon, right? They wrapped up Avatar The Last Airbender quite a while ago. But quite recently have relaunched with Legend of Korra from the exact same people as a continuation of that universe.
Right.
Right? With the new incarnation of the Avatar, the universe maybe, it's a little unclear exactly how long later, maybe 40 years.
Right.
And I've seen the first three episodes, and I am happy to report with my review that it is really a worthy inheritor of the mantles. What I've seen so far, it's, again, I am left watching something on Nickelodeon going, I can't believe I'm watching something on Nickelodeon. It's much deeper than most cartoons you see on TV right now. There's a lot of thought in it.
I like that they had an atheist episode on Airbender.
Yeah.
Which blew me away.
Yeah. There's genuine thought there. They actually approach topics, some of which are way deeper than should be on older kids' cartoons, much less on a Nickelodeon channel.
I'm surprised I got a pass. I just didn't realize I would get a pass in America.
Well, and again, one of the things that I find very interesting about this one is when I was a kid, there was a lot of gender conformity in cartoons where, like, girls could watch boy cartoons, right? It was expected, but boys would never watch a girl cartoon and never a cartoon with a girl lead. That was just known, right? So this is a cartoon with a female lead that is very clearly not intended to be a girl cartoon.
Right.
But I wouldn't necessarily call it gender neutral either. Like I think it probably leans a little bit more towards boys.
Yeah. But I mean, with Airbender, you have to.
It's a very tomboyish character. I would say she makes sort of a more traditionally male characters. She makes sort of a traditionally male decisions, and she's evidencing a more traditionally male thinking pattern.
Oddly, I would say female geek.
Yeah, I wouldn't. You know? I wouldn't necessarily
disagree.
Because
there's sometimes that female geek tends towards a little bit more of the. A traditionally quote unquote male inclined viewpoint. You know?
Yeah, but
Ianthi just fucked me up with an eyebrow.
Send an email to matt@geekson.com.
I see where you're going with it. I think it's a complicated
comic
thought.
Books and you know, it just tends
to
be.
I think traditionally storytelling, there's been a division where female viewers are expected to have to be able to suspend disbelief and follow male characters, but the vice versa has not traditionally been the case. And it's not just cartoons; it's literature, it's TV, it's movies, it's everything.
Yeah,
I think maybe in the best case scenario, that's changing a little bit and being a little bit more fluid. I haven't seen this cartoon, so I can't really.
Well, it's great that they're starting young.
Yeah.
like young boys, if no women even watch the show, young boys are watching a woman or young girl lead acting, you know, like a strong young lady.
There have been outliers to that. I mean, you look at things like Pippi Longstocking. I mean, that's not a character. I mean, it's a
I mean, if you go back to the original Avatar, the Last Airbender cartoon, there was a female protagonist that was a little bit more, she thought more, I think she was presented in a more traditionally female thinking role, but she was by no stretch like a traditional female character. She was a very much a warrior, you know, she fought in every sense of the word, you know, like literally as a warrior and in the more traditional female role as a leader and as a compassionate bringer together of people, that sort of thing. You know, and this one, you don't see this character as being the compassionate side of things, but they've set that up as her character arc. Like her teachers are pointing out to her, like, this is your flaw as the Avatar. You don't understand the spiritual side of what you need to learn. All you are interested in is the physical side. So
I'll have to watch it.
Was the, it's interesting.
Was the original Avatar Japanese at all?
It's American.
Okay.
It's American.
So it's just Japanese-ish.
It's, yeah, it's Asian.
It's borrowing an art style. Borrowing an art style.
It's Pan-Asian. It's there's a lot of Chinese and Thai and Japanese.
Same with like things like Afro Samurai, you know, borrowing an American anime.
But I recommend checking it out. It's actually very thoughtful. And the gender stuff going on in there is stuff I think you'd be very curious about.
Like interesting.
It's very interesting.
And you would recommend it for parents to have their young kids watch it?
I would I'd recommend parents to check it out. The like social content, I would say, is completely non-offensive, what I've seen so far. The violence level content is something I would suggest parents to check out first. There is martial arts and fantasy violence in there.
We're okay with violence as long as there's no boobs in it, Don.
As long as there's no sex.
So
there's a distinct lack
fine.
Of boobs and violence in there.
Yeah.
But there is a fantasy violence aspect. So,
my male nudity? Hi, never.
And I got to say, the fantasy violence in there, the martial arts stuff, has better choreography than most action stuff I've seen on TV in any other format. It's excellent.
Cool. All right.
You know, it's beautifully done.
You're selling me, Don. You're selling me.
By the way, we're just all over the place in this episode, but I just can't help myself.
Spazzy episode!
That's awesome.
Did you guys, any of you guys see The Raid?
Yes, I did.
No.
Did not.
Matt, this is like...
Well, kind of. I have new opinions about martial arts films, and they've been pissing me off lately.
Oh, no.
Well,
and while it's supposedly amazing, and I've seen a lot of the outtakes from it, and it's got beautiful fight scenes.
Yes. That's all it is.
But it's gonzo porn. I mean, it is literally the gonzo porn of
this is
martial arts.
This is not a movie.
Enterprise porn,
this,
gonzo
this movie
porn.
Is
we got lots
hardly
of porn
a movie.
This episode.
It is a building filled
yes.
with dudes
yes.
to be beat up.
Yes.
And that is the theme of the movie. There's a big building.
Yeah.
The heroes walk in the bottom, and they beat everything up until you get to the top.
Yeah. You know,
that's the
you know
movie.
When I
that's
saw that,
yeah.
you it, know, the only thing I could think
there is
of.
Nothing
how
else.
Long is the movie?
Hour and a half.
I don't know. Okay. The only thing I could think of watching this, watching the outtakes from that film was the old video game elevator action.
I was actually thinking the
shooting out, and every floor you got to shoot like three bad guys, and they're coming out of the doors. And
what was the video game where you're the martial artist and all you had was jump, kick, and punch? Do you remember that?
There was Yar Kung Fu.
There was with the two guys.
No, that's Double Dragon.
No, it's one guy.
That's Double Dragon. It's one guy. It's
maybe
left,
it was just
left arm. It's Kung Fu.
Kung Fu.
Yeah. Kung Fu.
Yeah, Kung Fu.
Yeah,
it's Kung
guys.
Fu.
Yeah.
yeah.
With guns.
With guns.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but
they shot on the camera that I shot my my
guns.
Shirt on.
Yeah.
They
okay.
shot on an AF-100 pen.
Well,
you know.
That's all I'm saying.
It's fun. That's all. Don't go in there. If you want a story, you are walking to the wrong movie.
Yes.
Gonzo porn.
Yeah, that's fine. But that's all
right.
martial arts
wall
movies.
Wall to
like
wall.
But
I would say all martial arts movies lately are absolutely interchangeable with porn and musicals. Yes.
That's my
yeah.
theory.
Yeah. I think.
But what I will say that they do so much better than most of the martial
I'm quoting
arts movies
you,
I have been seeing recently is when the fighting happens, they turn the camera on and you get to watch it all.
Yeah.
There's no quick cuts. There's no shaky cam. It's just people doing amazing things that I can't do for prolonged periods of time.
They're not hiding,
you know.
They're not hiding unskilled blah blah with shaky cam.
Right.
The dudes know what they're doing.
Right.
Or at least they know they at least everybody does. They know what they're doing.
Yeah, everybody. Yeah. All the extras are set 10 times better than people you'll see in American action movies.
So anyway, it will probably be on video on DVD very soon, I'm guessing. It was a little indie film, and I'm sure it hit the theater already. And then
it's still actually playing right now.
Oh, it is?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah. Month. It's been in the Arclight for like a month.
All right, well, go see it if you want to just blow an afternoon. I thought it was fun. Yeah. It's totally worth it. So, sorry about that. You just mentioned martial arts, and it popped in my head, and I forgot that.
No, it's a good one to bring up.
You have EKDD today.
Shall we move on to our topic?
Let's move on to our topic. Go ahead and ask me how the task team harassed me last week. I was in it for a minute, then it happened. But I ain't wanna let the jaw start flapping, man. And I ain't wanna act like the man. I can't act what I am. I rap like
Kickstarter.
Kickstarter.
One of the things we just wanted to bring this up, I think, mainly because it's such a huge.
It's like, amazing. It funded more people, more artists than the NEA last year.
Well. Yeah. I think we
that's
all,
not saying much.
I think we all know
sadly what that is.
Sadly. Yes.
I think we all know somebody, if not a whole bunch of people, mm-hmm. who are benefiting Kickstarter. From Kickstarter.
And I will be launching a Kickstarter. Please keep your ears open and eyes open. I'll be launching a Kickstarter in probably about a month and a half.
I think I have plans, and Kickstarter is something that at least I'm thinking about. Yeah. I think a lot of people now... Mm-hmm. are using this has at least a
you too?
Jumping board.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's all four of us.
Yeah, everybody has a Kickstarter idea, for sure.
And you know what? One of the, you know, okay, so anybody who doesn't know what Kickstarter is, it's a crowdsourcing, money-making website.
Shall we read their definition?
Yeah.
You pretty much did it. Kickstarter is a crowdfunding website for creative projects. Kickstarter has funded a diverse array of endeavors ranging from indie films, music, and comics to journalism, video games, and food-related projects.
So for the layman, you put up a little website about your project you want to do, and you say, I want to do this, I need this much money, and people can go there and they can give you money to start that project.
Yep.
And you can even put things on there saying, like, if you give me this much money, then I will give you a free copy.
Yep. Yeah, like
or incentives. I'll give you a credit.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Or I will say thank you.
Yep.
You know? I will come over to your house and wash your car.
Yep.
You know, whatever you want.
One of the things I think is amazing about this is because as artists in the digital world, we are all concerned about how to make money in a world where people can take or people are charging 99 cents for video games that used to at least charge $9 for. Mm-hmm. I mean, or handing things out for free. And it used to be an artist back in the day would get a patron, mm-hmm. and the patron would sponsor you, and you would paint your painting, and you would live off of your
a Medici
sponsor. Right, exactly. And now we have essentially kind of a same type of thing, except for it's the entire world is sponsoring.
I'm going to say, as I don't know who, if anybody else here is an art history geek, but I will say that the history of patronage and art is actually quite complicated, because like all people who give money, if you have a single patron, they tend to want to dictate what your art is going to be.
Exactly.
And Kickstarter is the reverse of that, which is fantastic.
Well, true. But they're, you know.
It's like micro patrons.
Well, and it's basically here is my concept, and if you like it, fund it.
Sure. Yeah. So, sure. That's true.
Yeah. I mean, so it's not one person who's like, I will give you money and you will
paint my dog.
That is a very, very, very interesting turn. That is very.
It is, because there are any number of great books that talk about the relationships between very famous like classical artists and their primary patrons, and there is, as there is in politics, as there is where any ever money is involved, there is a great deal of influence involved if you are paying someone's way.
Sure,
but that even people who wanted to have a Botticelli or a Michelangelo or something like that, they still moved the dialogue of what Michelangelo was painting.
Absolutely.
Somebody made a comment.
You will make my wife.
Somebody actually made a comment recently that Michelangelo's famous Sistine Chapel with God touching Adam's. It's I can't remember what the title of the piece is.
Creation of Man.
Yeah. No. Yes. Is it the creation?
It's the Sistine
yes.
Chapel.
No, no, no. You're right. The creation
it's the Sistine
of
Chapel
yeah, it's
ceiling.
The creation
yeah.
of man. And somebody was saying, if you look at the outline that's around God there, right? If you look at the outline around that is around God there, it looks like a human brain. It looks like an actual side dissection of a human brain. Hmm. And so Michelangelo actually may have been doing a play on words in saying the creation of man and putting God inside an outline of a human brain.
I have pictures of it at home. I'm going to have to go home and look.
And it's bizarre. It's absolutely so. All I'm saying is that you know you've been pushed this way, and
Saturday.
It's interesting. It's interesting when the artist pushed back. So to have suddenly all the hands in the power of the artists and actually quality art, because that's all that's going to rise is whether or not people really believe in the quality that you can produce.
Well, that's what's fascinating too. I was paging through there today looking at different projects and like looking at the music, for example, there was a huge cross-section of musicians trying to launch their first demo. And there was a lot of people in there that looked like quality musicians. And then there was a whole bunch of people that were clearly holding out their iPhones with big old duck face poses and just like, I'm not investing in that person. I don't know anything about your music, but.
To be clear, we're seeing money being raised from $0 up to millions of dollars on Kickstarter now.
Yeah.
And we're talking, and this is happening in 30 days. Like people are raising $1 million in 30 days.
I'm going to say a big butt on that.
Okay.
Because one of the discussions is music has been one of the areas where Kickstarter has been really talked up quite a bit and talked up in a DIY kind of context.
Right.
And one of the things that has been, I mean, it's not proven, but one of the things that's been discussed ad nauseum is that the people who are successful at it are people who have a relationship with a fan base going into their Kickstarter project.
Yes, correct.
They need to have invested the time with their fans, with their base.
Sure.
And this is probably true outside of music as well, that you have a relationship with this larger audience and you are able to go to that audience that already has an idea of who you are and what you do and say, this is my new thing. Give them a taste of it. And it's a taste of something that they want. They want to see.
Right.
Sure.
And that
sure.
is the key thing because, as you said, Kickstarter is open to all. If you go and you take your picture with an iPhone and you say, I'm going to write the best record that's ever been written and nobody has any idea who you are or, you know, what you're doing and you don't look like you've invested the time and you haven't invested the time in cultivating an audience, I don't think Kickstarter is going to work miracles for you on its own.
No. Well, I'm going to kind of push back a little bit there because Kickstarter is also – it's like YouTube. People are searching on now Kickstarter. It's not like you stumble upon this one thing. For example, board game designers are using Kickstarter where people are getting up to, you know, $200,000 to get a board game. That did not happen before. And so what people are doing now, I go to a website where it says, here's all of the, every single board game listed on Kickstarter. And you just go down the list, go, interesting. Oh, that's very interesting. There are people looking out for stuff. So if you like bluegrass, there might be ways of finding all of the bluegrass stuff, and you just click through and find it. If you say like,
astounding.
It's going to start
astounding.
Going to the top.
Which is an amazing thing. But I don't know. I don't know the stats on Kickstarter. I mean, I don't know how many people. I have contributed to a number of projects on Kickstarter.
I have also been
attached somehow to the artists or projects in some way, like be it not necessarily a personal relationship. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't, but sometimes it's like a design snob shout out and you'll be like, what's that?
Okay,
and that,
so let's talk a little bit about
but
about
there's
the
a connection there. I'm not going to Kickstarter to try to give people money.
Here's the thing.
I don't know how many people are doing
here's
that.
The thing. If you're going to make it anywhere, you got
to
work your ass off. And part of working your ass off is
good.
Getting your
yeah.
name out there.
Yeah.
And Kickstarter is a way of getting money, but that is all it is. And you need to get your ass out there and work it. And if that means contacting all the bluegrass blogs and say, hey, I'm out there, or, you know, you're right. Just posting your page on there and you picking away at your banjo saying I'm a bluegrass singer does not mean you're going to get any money.
Yeah.
You need to work your ass off. Yeah. But this is just an opportunity
as opposed to going from door to door at so-and-so company music studio
and saying, I do think... I mean, I sound like I'm flip-flopping here, but I do think there is some merit to what you're saying in that if you have a product already, like if you're a board game designer and you've already have a fully fleshed out concept and maybe pieces of that concept, you know, but you haven't gone into production with it, you have something to sell to people.
That's what's the most successful ones,
seed money. Do you know what
I mean?
Almost all the
successful ones have a video, pictures and an explanation, and the ones that are successful, they go get an artist.
Yeah,
they have them say, "Paint me two pictures.
Right.
Make the board and make a card."
Yeah.
Right now,
a taste.
On my iPhone, I have a product that is the result of Kickstarter.
Right,
Zombies Run. Okay, so it is a product that went up. I think it was about a year ago. Where they were looking for seed money. I think they were looking for $10,000. And if I recall correctly, I could be getting the numbers wrong. They ended up earning about $200,000on Kickstarter. in order to make a jogging program where it would access your playlist on your iPhone and then insert a radio drama about you running through a zombie apocalypse. And then, like, sending you radio messages over your iPhone, warning you about zombies coming at you from different directions while you're out running.
It's an exercise program that's zombie themed, which is a great freaking idea.
Yeah, it is. It's a great idea.
I don't know if it would make me run faster, but it's
actually, when all of a sudden you're running along and you're like, you hear Smash Mouth, and suddenly you hear zombies coming up behind you. I started running faster. I'll admit it.
I don't know.
Matt, what were you saying?
I was just going to say, just a couple of the stats since you mentioned stats.
Yeah, no, I'd love to hear them.
Kickstarter was founded in 2008 by Perry Chen, Yancey Strickler, and Charles Adler. The Miami News Times jokingly proclaimed Kickstarter.com is one of the smartest ideas for a website since Al Gore invented the internet.
Al Gore!
Yeah. As of April 2012, Kickstarter had more than $175 million pledged and more than 20,000 successfully funded projects. The project success rate was 44%.
Wow.
That's damn high.
That's really big. I mean, if you talk about something like direct mail, that's like in the single digits. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and people make...
2010.
Like, so let me interrupt there just to point out one thing. I did notice today there were a large number of very low budget projects too.
Yeah.
Not all of them were like $10,000 to $100,000 projects.
Well,
there were some very low.
There are projects that have a goal and get overfunded.
Yes.
I mean, like the Amanda
vastly
overfunded. The Amanda Palmer project in the music sphere right now. I don't remember what the number was, but she's exceeded it by a factor of 100%. I think at this point. I mean,
now I was going to bring this up at the end, but this might be a good time. I'm waiting for a Kickstarter fiasco.
There have been, and I have them here.
If you get 100 gazillion people all pitching money for a good idea, and the guy either steals it, walks away, or the product is so awful that people are outraged. Now, you said this has already happened?
Yes.
Because I'm waiting for this to
There's been a few. May 2011, a New York University film student raised $2,000 to make a film, but plagiarized another film instead. The student publicly apologized. The Kickstarter says, you know, all of the downside of this goes immediately to you, and we're going to...
$2,000 isn't enough to make a stink.
Yeah. There are a few others. Where is it?
I'm waiting for this $1 million or $2 million mark to get hit, and then everybody gets screwed.
But for $1 million,
$200,000 is enough for me to make a stink.
Both Kickstarter and project creators have canceled projects that appear to have been fraudulent.
Yeah.
Questions were raised about the projects in internet communities related to the fields in the projects. The i3 camera drone helicopter for unrealistic performance promises. The Mythic adventure game for copying graphics from other games, and the Tech Sync power system for failing to provide photos of the prototype and sudden departure of the project creator.
I'm waiting, though, for them to receive the cash.
Okay. Beyond $2,000.
$1 million.
Oh, $2,000.
I think $1 million.
I misheard.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's way too high a bar. I mean, $200,000 would be, like, outrageous.
Yeah.
You think that would get people... You think
that I would be mad.
Well, I know you'd be mad, but do you think that would get the news involved?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because this is a sexy story, Aaron.
So.
See?
They're here. Pause.
They're bringing the heat.
Don, your ride's here.
They're coming to take me away. Ha ha, they're coming to take me away.
How do you think Kickstarter responds and recovers from this? Because you know they know it's going to happen. So what do you think they have plans?
Well, I'm sure there's got to be language. I mean, they've got a million lawyers.
But I'm talking about PR.
Are they any more responsible than eBay is?
Well, they are also...
they're a facilitator.
I know,
but they're also facilitating through Amazon, and they're also facilitating through, you know...
It's a PR problem.
They'll go, it's Amazon's fault?
Well, they take 5% of the funds, and Amazon takes additional
3%. I'm not talking about legal. I'm talking about the PR problem. Right now, people are dumping money in there because it's all sunshine. The day that everyone thinks of Kickstarter as the one you put your money and people steal it,
I think that's basically will depend on the details of the project. Because if it's a good fraud, I mean, and I say good as in they actually sell it and they defrauded Kickstarter as well. I mean, I don't know. How do you blame Kickstarter? Yeah.
Kickstarter advises sponsors to use their own judgment on supporting a project. They also warn project leaders that they could be liable for legal damages from sponsors for failure to deliver on promises.
And you think the public will say, "Well, won't pin Kickstarter if a million dollars just gets taken and a product never comes out?"
I think $1 million is just such a big number for Kickstarter that you keep saying it.
Hasn't happened. It's only happened 3 times.
Yeah, but I'm saying those numbers are coming up.
No, but I mean, I think that's the outlier. I mean, but anyway.
That's not the point. The question is how does Kickstarter recover from that? And I think functionally, Kickstarter then goes after whoever it is that does it and says, all right.
Yeah, and I think also it depends on the size of the donations. I mean, if you're someone who contributed $10 and it all goes, you know, south, right. I mean, $10 mad is not like I gave you $1 million mad. I mean, so I do think it depends on what the culpability of Kickstarter is in it. If they have some sort of, if it comes out that they have some sort of information that would have tipped them off that this was a fraud from the get-go, yeah, you'd be mad. If they've been taking the cleaners with everybody else, I don't know.
Well, for example, I mean, there's all sorts of gadgets and electronics being raised on there, and it's getting some big money. A board game that came out in the 80s is being re-released by a game company. They said they needed $20,000 to get it kickstarted, but if it got up to these other numbers, then it, you know, have extra goodies and stuff in there. It got it to $250,000 in 15 days. This is a board game.
Awesome.
So these numbers are getting high, and people are not they're not putting in $15. Some of the contributors are putting like $1,000 in because they're super excited. I think they're crazy, but some of these people who are they think of themselves as investors, and they're getting like freebies and extra games and stuff. But
keep in mind, these people are generally they're meeting milestones put down by the creators. Mm-hmm. You know, so if they put in $1,000, it's because there's some threshold where if you put in $1,000, you get your name in the credits. Yeah, you know, they are getting something that person thinks is of value to them.
Let's talk the top 10 right now. Galileo, your iOS in motion, total US dollars, $702,000.
Is that the watch that connects, that Bluetooths to your
design,
iPhone?
Design, yeah.
Yeah.
The Banner Saga, Stoic Studios video game, $723,000. Print Robot.
Was number two?
What?
It's a video game.
Video game, okay. Printer Bot, your first 3D printer. Yeah. Brookdown Technology, $830,000.
Yeah.
Hidden Radio and Bluetooth speaker design, $938,000.
Wow.
TikTok and Lunatic multi-touch watch kits, that may be what you're talking about.
Oh, maybe that's what.
$942,000. The Order of the Stick reprint drive.
Wow. Yeah. What? I saw that.
Yeah. $1.2 million.
What?
Yeah. I saw that today.
Kidding me?
Elevation Dock, the best dock for iPhone, $1.4 million. Shadowrun Returns video game, $1.8 million.
That's a joke.
Wasteland 2 video game, $2.9 million. And
see, these are getting high.
Those are big numbers.
And number one, Double Fine Adventure, Double Fine and Two Player Productions video game, $3.3 million.
Those are big numbers.
You see, like, this could be a scandal if $3.3 million just goes to nothing.
Well, but again, I'm going to say, what was your level of contribution and what were you promised for it? Because if you promised like a copy of the game and you never gave it, get it, and you paid $10 and it's like, you know, 3,000 people or 30,000 people or whatever. Yeah.
It's 3,000 people, like 3 million people mildly pissed. Inconvenienced.
Yeah, like, you know what I mean? But if it's like right, one, maybe, I mean, maybe. I don't know. I think it's all relative.
It's not one patron, you know, that's $3.3 million out.
Yeah, you don't have it's all
I do. 3.3 million miles.
But if I was, but if I was 10 grand in the hole for somebody, I'd be pissed. I'd be looking.
Well, I'd be
looking.
That's if you put 10 grand in.
But I mean, I mean, I would think
$3 million. You
there's probably someone
involved. If you're willing to invest $10,000 through Kickstarter to a project, are you willing for $10,000 to trust Kickstarter to do all the due diligence? I would say at $10,000, you have a responsibility to yourself.
Right.
To actually do due diligence right. on what you're investing in, regard outside of Kickstarter.
I would agree.
I mean,
with that.
But also keep in mind, I would also point out that with most of the Kickstarter stuff, I don't know anything about any of these projects. Kickstarter, you're not expecting any actual returns for most of this stuff. Mm. It's not an investment. It's a gift to somebody
it's
else to do a project
but
you're
but
hoping
you're,
to do.
If,
most of
the
time
pre,
it is a pre-order.
If you're putting $10,000 in, I just think
you're
investing
you're
your capital.
Yeah.
Whether
right.
you're
yes.
whether it's for an actual investment
yes.
or not. I mean, that's a sizable sum of cash even for people who have more money than they know what to do with.
Yep.
Granted.
So
I love this idea. In fact, there's other sites that have popped up for charities. Mm-hmm. I know I had a friend who she went on tour with Foster the People. Well, her brother's in the band, so. And she raised $200,000 in Rebecca.
Oh.
She raised $200,000 in 30 days and went and did charity work all around the United States. And that was another company that allows you to raise money for charities. Kickstarter
right.
does not do that.
Yeah.
But this is a freaking great opportunity,
oh,
I
absolutely.
Think, for... Now, Kickstarter takes a percentage.
Mm-hmm. 5.
Which is...
It's sizable.
It's... Yeah, but you're getting, you know...
But it's an opportunity
it
you might not get otherwise.
Yeah, I mean...
But it's something to think about, really. I mean, 5%, if you start...
The thing
let's
I don't understand
a board
is...
Game.
This is still income, right? This is still income that you're...
And to the person
who's
kid doing
to
the
person who's doing the Kickstarter.
I would assume
Do you
so.
Pay taxes on it?
I would
I'm sure
assume
you do,
so.
Yeah.
I would have to check.
So if you are receiving $20,000 in order to do it.
Well, let's put it this way. Yeah. I think the gift limit, but it's multiple donors.
Gift
I don't
limit
know.
Is $11,000.
Yeah, it's $11,000, but that's
yeah.
from an individual.
That's,
so I
yeah.
don't know.
Yeah, but this would be like you would set up, if you were making a game, you would set up your business. You'd these would be you know pre-orders or whatever. I'm sure.
But does it count as one payment to you from Kickstarter, or
yeah.
is it the sum?
If,
like,
if you're
going to
be,
I mean, I don't know. That's a whole other
800. I mean, to me, I was looking at this going, do I have to factor in addition to the 5% that is taken away for somebody
like
and the 3% that goes to Amazon
yeah.
if I'm doing cross marketing through Amazon?
Yes,
do I have to figure in a 15%
yes.
tax bracket?
There will
sure.
be an accountant involved. That's all I can say.
Well, yeah.
I mean, if you sold your entire product this way. Then the government would want you to be taxed on your income.
Right.
I mean, that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
If you're earning money, you're getting taxed on it.
Yeah. I mean, Kickstarter is just, honestly, it's a great way to harness the collective. It's a great way to harness a lot of people donating a small amount of money to accumulate what can amount to big sums of money, as
yeah.
you're saying.
Yeah.
I mean, really, if you think about it, I mean, historically, there just hasn't been the ability to reach that many people.
It's really
to aggregate
idea.
All that.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. you know, it's kind of it's hugely powerful.
Anyway, most people know about Kickstarter. I think we just wanted to bring it up because, as artists and a bunch of geeks, knowing a bunch of geeks, there are a lot of projects we all want to get off the ground.
And it's just an interesting site to browse. Honestly,
it is,
yeah,
it is. And I mean, I think also again going back to that idea of Kickstarter being really good for people that have an audience. Geek culture has. Pockets of concentrated fans that I think
yeah.
lend itself to Kickstarter because they're there and they're part of a community
yeah.
to begin with.
We should kickstart Geeks On.
I think
there
that's a great idea.
If we make
$5,000, you'll get an episode every month. If we make an episode every 2 weeks. If we get $30,000, you get an episode every week.
There we go. Yeah.
Like, you get an autographed episode.
I do not think that the biggest threat to Kickstarter is the fraud issue. I think the biggest threat to Kickstarter is that on September 30th, 2011, Kickstarter filed a request for declaratory judgment against ArtistShare and FanFunded, who own U.S. patent US 788-5887, methods and apparatus for financing and marketing a creative work. Brian Camilio, founder of ArtistShare, is the inventor on the patent. Kickstarter says it believes it's under threat patent infringement and lawsuit. Yeah. Kickstarter has asked that the patent be invalidated, or at the very least that the court find that Kickstarter is not liable for infringement.
By the way, this patent thing is so out of control.
Oh my God.
It's insane. Wow.
Microsoft maybe having to stop selling Windows and Xboxes. They're having to stop in Germany right now. They may have to stop doing it in the U.S.
Yes.
I haven't heard that.
No, I haven't heard that.
Because some companies got some patents.
There's basically people who go out and they hoard patents.
Oh, yeah.
It's called Apple, Samsung.
Right.
Yeah, no. And there's
not even just gigantic companies. I'm saying there are companies that don't actually exist. This American Life, I believe,
did a whole episode that just holds
patents. And then they go out and they sue Apple and Microsoft and like that. Yeah. And that's how they make their income.
They troll for patents.
If I recall correctly, Yahoo just got into that business too.
They all have
there's a magic number. What number it is, I can't remember, that they all feel that they need to have to be able to be secure in their intellectual property.
Yeah. Like Apple and Samsung going, apparently, you know, I've heard all these articles about like the judge is now like, the judge is like thinks it's ridiculous. So she's being all snarky to the lawyers because she's like, you're kidding me with this crap. Because not only that, but Samsung makes Apple iPads, and then they're suing each other on it. It's like, what the hell is going on?
The Samsung tablet was blocked in Australia for patent purposes. I mean, they couldn't sell their – they couldn't bring their product to market.
It's insane. Great.
I remember seeing it in the paper and being like
All right. Do we have anything else?
We have a Kickstarter bit.
Woohoo!
Don has prepared.
Create a new sound.
That's what's cool. That's what's cool.
You realize something happened.
So Don is treating us with a little Kickstarter bit here at the end.
So what I have done is I have prepared three groups of Kickstarter projects.
Okay.
And I have built up, basically, I have three groups. In each group, there is one fake project.
Okay.
For all of you to find.
Oh, this is like NPR too. I love it.
Right.
Okay.
We did this with news a couple weeks ago.
Would you prefer to start with film, books, or miscellaneous?
Let's do books.
Books.
All right. I found a selection of children's books.
Okay.
To begin with. So the first one is All About Poop, a children's book.
Okay.
I've had to paraphrase the descriptions in these because they were very evasive in some of the descriptions. A children's book all about poop. It's also accompanied by a rather exciting new interactive iPhone app that they're trying to put together.
Okay.
Please, oh please, eat your goddamn peas. Following the success of Go Fuck to Sleep, Eat Your Goddamn Peas provides more amusement for parents than for kids. Not suggested for children old enough to understand the words.
Okay.
And last but not least, Of Mice and Menstruation, a period piece.
Oh, God. I'm afraid.
That is not right.
With lots of cute characters and a fun story, this book gives little girls a good start in learning about their period.
Hmm.
All right, one of those is fake.
One of these is fake.
I would say All About a Poop is real.
I'm going to think that one's fake.
You think All About Poop is...
Everybody poops, that's why
I think that one's fake.
And...
I have to think the last one is real because someone is demented enough to think that's a good idea.
I think the last one.
Dawn.
I'm gonna have to go with the last one is fake. I'll go with last mice one. And menstruation is fake.
I'm gonna go with the poop one too.
Mice and menstruation is fake.
Fake. That's what I think.
You're going with two for poop.
Two
and
for
one for menstruation. Yes.
Okay. The fake one is Please, oh please, eat your goddamn peas.
Oh, I like that one. I was like, I bought that book.
Of Mice and Menstruation, a period piece, and All About Poop, a children's book, are in fact real projects.
Wow.
Damn it.
All About Poop, a children's book, is in fact a science-based book trying to explain to children why they should not play with their poop. In fact, it is a germy thing. It is a science-based thing.
Makes complete sense to me.
If you donate enough money to the Kickstarter, they will come to your school and they will talk to your school about it. And Of Mice and Menstruation is apparently there's a concern that girls are menstruating at younger and younger ages now.
They are.
So
yeah.
It's to try and help parents with that particular concern. So shall we move
it's
on?
They're sparkling early.
Yeah, Mira will run up to you at any one time right now, and she'll go, a jibba jabba jua. And you're like, what? What's a jibba jabba jua? She goes, a jibba jabba jua is a bear who eats poop. I'm like, what?
What the hell?
This is random.
Yeah. Hazel, when she was that age, she basically told stories about poop a lot. Yeah.
I guess there is an age where you're fascinated by poop.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, I mean, she didn't actually... I mean, I never actually saw her play with poop.
All right. You guys are grossing me out.
Sorry. Moving on to film. There's... Not all these are necessarily geeky, but some of them are just like, there are four. I was fascinated by all four. I had to put on all four. Grime Wave.
Grime
Terror Wave. Optics proudly presents the flatulent return of the cockface killer.
Did you just say flatulent return?
Yes, the flatulent return of the cockface killer.
I have an app for you.
The bondage-wearing, vomit-inducing star of Gorgasm and Attack of the Cockface Killer is in hot water after accidentally slaughtering and molesting a local gang hideout. In a desperate attempt to take control of the city, two rival gangs enlist ninjas, gay cops, and pervy hillbillies, and even a spooky cult to quash the cockface killer's rampage of sex and violence before the whole city goes tits up.
Oh, that's real.
I might contribute to
that. I might contribute to that one, too.
Comic Cons, the awesomest crime story ever told. A group of geeks, tired of the commercialization of Comic-Con, decide to strike back at the companies that are destroying their beloved Geek Fest by pulling off the geekiest heist ever committed in the history of geekdom, Ocean's 11 for the Nerd Set. Granny's Dancing on the Table, a granny invasion. Aini grows up isolated in the deep Swedish forests, and her only comfort is her fantasies about her dancing granny. When she is 17, she runs away from home and ends up in a strange and crazy society where she has to struggle to survive. But Aini uses her gift to predict earthquakes in order to overcome her obstacles and to discover sex.
I believe in all three. I don't know which one.
He's got one more.
Oh, it's one more.
Here's the fourth. Big Like Me. One man's quest to enlarge his penis. Big Like Me. One Man's Quest to Enlarge His Penis is a documentary feature chronicling my obsessive efforts to increase my penis size using various penile enhancement methods. I even explore some surgical procedures. Ouch.
Oh, wow. My.
I'm going to go with Comic-Con.
I'm going to go with Comic-Con, too, because...
I'm going to do the same.
I think you wanted to slip something geeky in there, and so you had to write it yourself.
And you're all correct.
Yeah.
All right.
That's a bummer, because I'd throw money at that one, too.
Yeah.
All right. So this the our last set of three. This is our miscellaneous, our grab bag. So we have phone soap. Simultaneously charge and sanitize your phone. Have you ever wondered how dirty your phone is? It is worse than you think. A little over a year ago, my cousin Wes and I were watching TV when we saw a report stating that our phones have over 18 times more harmful bacteria than the handle on a male public toilet. And he goes on to explain how horrible that is. Rapture, the co-op board game. In Rapture, you play a good Christian trying to get into heaven. Remember, though, there aren't enough spaces for everyone. Try to prove to God that you're worthy of redemption by doing good deeds while passing off your sins onto fellow players, so they'll burn in hell while you try to ascend. Fun for 3 to 5 players, not recommended for children.
That is a fucking fantastic game, so even if that's not real, I'm proud of you because that's amazing.
This is totally your
And the last one, Onkolos. A multiplayer game for cancer patients.
Oh, my God.
Onkalos is a multiplayer fantasy game in which you assume a heroic role and battle an invading scourge bent on the corruption and destruction of the game world. This game serves as an entertainment, educational, and healing vehicle. It provides a fun challenge while instructing the player in the elements of modern cancer treatment. Onkalos provides a venue for the visualization and confrontation of cancer so you, the player, can take back your power to heal.
I think Onkalos is what happens when you get a tooth extracted and your jawbone sticks to it. Like, what does that have to do with cancer?
Don't know. I'm like an oncologist, but an oncologist, yes.
Like the Greek word?
Oncology, yes. Oncology is cancer, so Onkalos could be the land of cancer.
I'm going to say number two.
I'm going with number two.
Seems like something you would love to be on.
I think it's fan fucking tastic.
I know,
idea,
me too.
Though.
I think
you should go get that funded.
This is something that you would want to be on Kickstarter. That's why.
Damn it!
We just know you too well, Don.
I'm caught. Yes, Rapture, the co-op board game.
That's a great idea,
though. I think that's a fantastic, fantastic co-op board game idea.
So, there you go. Hope you had fun playing along.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you, Don.
Thank you for the kit. I like that. I think that's a great bit.
Some of these are fascinating, though, aren't they? Like, the Granny's Dancing on the Table movie, like, I was reading that going like...
That had to be real.
Yeah.
It had to be real.
I knew no one would guess that was the fake one.
To predict earthquakes, because it was just so out there.
Yeah, using her gift to predict earthquakes in order to overcome her obstacles and to discover sex. What?
That has to be somebody's idea.
The earth move for you, too.
I've talked to that woman at a party.
All right.
Somebody's pitched me that screenplay at a party.
The next time we meet, Avengers will be out. We'll have all seen it, I am sure. We will be talking about it.
I'm going to get a sitter for my 9-week-old.
Can we get Lisa Lasik here to talk about the Avengers?
If she's resurrected.
She's very sick. So please send your good thoughts towards Lisa Lasik.
We'll pry her out of her bed.
Out of the ice.
Make her take her damn meds.
Right. Yeah. And so we'll talk about the Avengers. I don't know if Prometheus will be out yet, but we have to have an episode on Prometheus.
When is Prometheus coming out?
June 6th, I think.
Oh, okay.
Batman, of course.
That will be a little bit later.
It's a geek summer.
All right. Well, let's start talking about them. I can't wait. And I also want to talk about some board games.
Yeah, Spider-Man too, yeah.
Let's play some board games. Have you played anything new lately?
I played Chutes and Ladders this afternoon.
You might.
That game is long, man. When you play it with four people and one of those people is a 9-week-old, that game is long.
I bet.
But there's this big ladder in the middle of it.
All right, everybody.
Go for the big ladder.
Any other? You know what? We can also have people suggest some topics to us on Facebook. We're constantly getting bombarded with cool ideas.
Yes.
So you go on Facebook. You also go on our website.
Tell us what your interesting topics are.
And you can also email us at geeks@geekson.com.
Or Matt, Peter, Don, or Aaron at geekson.com. And do we have an IMD?
I don't have one for me.
That's sad.
I'll try to remember our password to set one up.
Oh, the professionalism.
IMD@geekson.com.
We have a password.
Yeah, I don't know. It's lost somewhere. Alrighty. Anything else before we... All right.
Well,
good.
Have a good geek week, everybody.
Geek it out.
Geek it out.